you are listening to Irish Radio Network, USA, and we want to go to Ireland right now and link with Joan Freeman. And Joe Freeman is the founder of Pieta House. It's a center for the prevention of suicide and self-harm. First of all, let us welcome Joan Freeman. Joan, you're very welcome back to us.
Thanks, Adrian. Delighted to link up with you again.
When Pieta House indeed was not known at all on our side of the Atlantic, I was, of course, delighted to welcome you to the airwaves here to explain to us your mission as founder of Pieta House. And at that time, there was only a loose plan, more of a wish than a plan, to bring Pieta House to the United States. And of course, a lot has happened since then. But bring us back to your creation, your founding of Pieta House.
Well, Pieta House was founded, was opened for the first time in 2006, in January 2006, in a village called Lucan in County Dublin. And it was started really for two reasons. One, I'm a psychologist, and I could see that there was a serious gap in services. Over here, for example, if someone was suicidal or self-harming, they would be sent to a GP, you know, general practitioner, or to A&D, the emergency department, and there was nothing else. And then when I went through the experience of losing a loved one to suicide, I saw that the gap was really gaping. And I suppose from personal experience and personal trauma, it was the driving force that made me try to research, first of all, what would be the best thing to do for people who are in suicidal crisis. And then that driving force really turned into a solid research plan that came up with the therapeutic model for people who are in crisis, but also the type of environment that we should be holding a person, and obviously that's with compassion and dignity. So that's really why it started. So it took 3 years really before I was able to open the doors, and so that first centre has now, and this is our 10th anniversary, we're opening our 10th centre in Ireland in Waterford in June, and we have a staff number of 180 people, mainly therapists, and we have thankfully helped an awful lot of people. We saw over 6,000 people last year, children as young as 6 years of age to people in their 80s, and of course it's a free service and will always be a free service. So we're really trying to do something similar outside of Ireland, and we were invited by a young woman in New York who works for the New York Irish Centre, called Rebecca Sked, the director there is Paul Finnegan. And between them and the Department of Foreign Affairs over here, Minister Jimmy Deanahan, they encouraged us hugely to see could we do the same thing over in America.
I so think, yes, and you have done so. I think, though, that it would be appropriate to acknowledge probably a very uncomfortable topic to begin with, to acknowledge that Ireland, unfortunately, ranks among the highest of European countries in terms of suicide and the rate of suicide, something that until we could say your establishment of Pieta House was something that traditionally, well, we could say the same thing for here, but traditionally in Ireland was best kept secret. Those you know, like yourself, who had lost a loved one to suicide, were pretty much left on their own and in the grieving process. A lot of it had to do with the Catholic religion in Ireland, which had indeed gone out of its way through the decades in pointing out not only the shame but the sin of suicide. And in fact, as such, this became a hushed story.
Well, there's a few comments to that, Adrian, and the first is that suicide is a problem all over the world. In America alone, if you think of the size of a jumbo jet, and it will fill about 400 people, passengers, men, women, and children, the equivalent to 3 jumbo jets a week would be the amount of people who take their lives in America. And if you look at it in that stark fashion, you will see that stigma suicide is stigmatized everywhere. People are afraid to look for help. And with regards to PIESA, yes, we have made a contribution, but so have many other charities. But there's one thing that is really important for everyone to see, and that is while there's suicide everywhere and an appalling rate in some countries, it's the Irish who are leading the way in the intervention of suicide and the how to mind people who are in crisis. And it's becoming so well acknowledged that there are countries around the world who've asked to bring our service to their country, to their community. So it is so positive. We are doing such a wonderful job. And I'm talking about the Irish now. I'm not talking about PAs. I'm talking about the Irish. Because the Irish have had the courage to invite us. I mean, there were some really amazing people that very first week I went over to New York just to even think about it and to inquire about it. There's a woman called Caroline O'Connell who just wanted us to be there, was one of the very first people to form a committee to bring PIESA to New York. So the Irish are fearless, and I think we are probably, and especially with this darkness and tonight walk that's coming up, we are definitely leading the world in prevention and intervention.
Let me ask you, then again, this brings back to speaking of courage, to your courage in bringing the topic to do something of a practical nature, other than quietly acknowledging after the fact, and in the topic of suicide and the related mental health condition which allows suicide to happen in the first place. Let me just ask you, though, about the process of recognition of a potential suicidal person. How did that work? How does it work?
Yeah. So the first thing that we have to remember is that, again, because of stigma over the decades and myths around suicide, most people would think that people who are suicidal are not only suffering from long-term mental health issues, but could be a danger to other people. And it makes people reluctant to engage. So, again, the whole face of Irish, the Irish attitude has changed to suicide because people now realize that people who are suicidal, in 7 or 8 cases out of 10, have had no mental health issue or history at all. They are reacting to a life event. And if you remember the recession here just a few years ago, the suicide rate went up instantly. And that was amongst the construction industry and the farmers. So again, proving our point that suicide, first of all, can happen to anyone. So it's changing attitudes and beliefs before people need to lose their fear. So, I mean, the signs are then quite obvious. Once you take away that fear that blinds us. You can see that people are hurting. They see no way out. They see no light at the end of the tunnel. They are not trying to be mean or selfish or anything like that. They are trying to escape. And they're trying to escape their inner turmoil. And the reality is, if you ask that person, why do they want to die? They will say, I don't want to die. I want to stop this pain. So when we see suicide for what it really is, then fear will fall away and we can reach out and help, and everybody can.
Can, and how do families, close friends, neighbors, those who can observe, some of the signs, how do you get the message across that if somebody indeed is suicidal, that they may need somewhere between Pieta House, and the individual, that there is help, that family, the friends, that neighbors, church leaders, doctors, those in the medical profession, they have to have a hand in helping somebody who is suicidal. Is there a way to recognize a suicidal person, or is this by virtue of the publicity and by virtue of what Pieta House is doing? We have to assume that publicity with respect to and passing the word that help is available and that this help comes without stigma. Can you maybe clarify that process for us?
Yes, absolutely. The practice over in America is a little bit different, obviously, than it is over here. There's health insurance and all those sort of things that have to be taken into consideration. But there are so many good people, therapists out there in America who will be able to help. We're only one small little organization in New York. And if people look to our website, by the way, pietahouse.org, they can find more information. But what you're asking there, Adrian, is about, first of all, the signs. The signs can be very, very apparent if you're looking for them. So, for example, we've used an acronym called SIGNS, which will help people remember what those signs are. So S is for sleep deprivation, because one of the key things that people go through when they're distressed is the lack of sleep. And we all know what it's like to have a bad night's sleep or lack of sleep. You know, the world is a very different place the next day. So can you imagine weeks of it, how that can affect us? The next letter is I for isolation. You will notice that people start isolating themselves, withdrawing from everyday social situations such as going for a pint or going for a cup of coffee or even turning off their mobile phone. G is giving away possessions. It doesn't always happen, but 30 to 40% of people will hand over possessions that are meaningful to them, to friends and family. N is not enjoying or not participating in life like they used to. Someone who's a big GAA fan suddenly stops looking at the matches. And someone who is mad into music stops playing. Someone who is good at work and ambitious in work suddenly gives up. And S, the final letter, is speaking the language of suicide. This is when people will say things like, I don't see any point, I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. Or the most telling of all is that my family would be better off without me. Mm-hmm. So recognizing that, recognizing those signs, but also knowing that someone, and it's, by the way, family would be usually the last people to see it. We're used to every day seeing mood changes in our loved ones. We're so used to it. It could be in great form today and like a bag of cats the next day. So we accept that of people. But the people who might see it most are colleagues and friends. Mm-hmm. They might spot those signs. And also knowing that the person is probably going through a difficulty at that time. So, you know, marrying the two, the signs and the difficulty that the person is going through, will make it very clear that there's something up. And, you know, for you to approach someone, if you know that by even saying something like, you don't seem yourself lately, you don't seem to be in a good place at all, how are you? And the other person will more than likely say, I'm fine. But then you have to ask, what does fine mean? You know, and when you really, really want to find out what fine means, you keep pursuing that question. And it's then when you know someone might be in trouble that you seek help for them. You don't hand them a business card or a number, a telephone number. You get the help for them and bring them to that help.
Is it common for those of us who obviously, and there's hardly anybody on the face of this earth who would not like to help those who are suicidal, is there a tendency for us to look more closely at those who have an addiction, whether that's to alcohol or to drugs or, you know, to those who are grieving after a loved one? Or are there categories there? How do you spot somebody? And I know what you have said is that this is, you know, colleagues or those who are close. But I would like you to, you know, to tell us or to perhaps correct us in the sense that when we are looking for somebody who is in very deep trouble, we sometimes just look at those with addiction and say, my God, you know, they're going downhill and they're going to kill themselves, excusing, you know.
So really, people with addictions, I wouldn't personally think that they're more high risk than anybody else.
Okay.
To me, addiction is a separate social issue altogether. And of course, sometimes by accident, there is an overdose. And sometimes by great despair, there is a suicide. And of course, and I'm not dismissing that, but this is where you're absolutely right. We need to break the mentality of what people think suicide is all about. So for example, the men have the highest rates of suicide. And over here it was always because men don't talk, you know, and they nobody can tell what they're going through and all this again. And that, again, has changed dramatically in Ireland. But if you think about, there are two tipping points, and this is recognized worldwide. There are two tipping points that affect men that can tip them over to consider taking their life. So the first one is anything to do with their work. If it's they've been made redundant, they're unemployed, their business has failed, all those, because work tends to be such an important part of a man's life that it's almost his identity. So when that is affected, and we get back to the session where the suicide rate went up again amongst men, anything to do with work, where something really serious has happened, or there is a relentless bullying going on in work, or anything like that, that is one of the tipping points. The second tipping point is the ending of a significant relationship, and that's either through death or through a breakup. And sometimes these two tipping points go hand in hand. They've lost their job, and then they've lost their relationship. So they're the ones. So when you know someone is going through those two particular things, that's when we should be on alert for that person.
Can I ask you and move forward into probably the most significant aspect of your organization in terms of the darkness into light walk, which on May 7th, actually, next Saturday morning, begins at in our area here at 4:15 a.m. And again, at similar time frames in five major cities throughout the United States. Tell us what that is why that is so significant.
Well, it is, first of all, our flagship pronouncing that suicide can be prevented. You know, we're shouting during that walk, basically, that, you know, we can do something about this terrible scourge. So what has happened is, you know, in 2009, 7 years ago, I had a very first Darkness into Light walk in the Phoenix Park in Dublin, and 400 people turned that morning at 4:15. And it's a very symbolic walk because, you know, this is what we do in Pieta House. We bring you from the dark into the light. So what turned out that first year to be 400 people gathering in the dawn, just before dawn, has now become a global entity. So in Ireland, for example, we have 89 venues across the country where people will be walking next Saturday morning. But not only in Ireland, so we're talking about 130,000 people, more than likely 150,000 people at that hour of the morning. And the other part, most significant part, is that we're also in different countries. We're in Australia, we're in Canada, we're in New Zealand, we're in Dubai, we're even in Taiwan, as someone said, you know, to Taiwan, which is remarkable. But as you said, Adrian, we're in America, which is so terribly exciting. Two places in New York, the Bronx and Queens. We're in San Diego, Chicago, and we're in Philadelphia, and we're also in San Francisco. We are the Irish, and this is all Irish again. The Irish volunteers are bringing this remarkable event to their community. And this year we have a walk that's going across the Golden Gate Bridge, which is, of course, renowned for and is known as the Bridge of Tragedy, mm-hmm. is now known, will be known, as the Bridge of Hope.
If there is,
and,
yeah.
I'm just saying that the Irish really should be patting themselves on the back.
Yes.
Men and women who have their own jobs, their own children, their own problems, and yet they're doing this.
But also their comfort in numbers. These walks that you have on a global basis does let the potential suicidal person know that, in fact, there is help. There are those who care. There are those who are dedicated. And it has to have an amazing sense of comfort for those who are in the depths of depression and who don't see any out, to know that thousands and thousands of people are there for the specific purpose of offering help. Without strings, no strings attached, and I think that it would have to be, and it is acknowledged that Pieta House, which you founded, is the singular source of identification and support for those who traditionally have been pretty much ignored. The strength of the support that is shown from the Darkness into Light annual event, coupled with the how many chapters are in Ireland, throughout Ireland?
Do you mean for the walk, or do you mean Pieta Centres?
Pieta Centres.
So we're opening our 10th one in June. So our vision is to have a service within 100 kilometres of every single person in Ireland, and we're almost there.
And how many different groups of Darkness into Light groups are there throughout Ireland?
So there's 89 venues. So you're talking about 89 committees full of people. That's only in Ireland now.
Yes.
Full of people who are so proud and delighted to bring it to their community.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's the one day, and there's two things going to happen on the 7th. It's the one day where the Irish are making, besides Paddy's Day, mm-hmm. the Irish again are making a statement. And the other thing is, during a 14-hour period on that day, someone somewhere will be walking for Darkness Into Light and for Pieta House. Someone somewhere in the world
mm-hmm.
will be doing that constantly for those 14 hours.
I know that there are many chapters, some of them new, some of them indeed have already been established throughout the United States. But I want to direct our listeners to a place where you can get information and help, and that is to Pieta House at the New York Irish Center in Long Island City in Queens, headed up by Paul Finnegan, and that is a great place to start. Their telephone number is 718-482-0001. And on Facebook, there is all the information that, indeed, for those of us who would like to do something of a positive nature and learn a lot, there is Pieta House NYC. To that end, I want to, again, encourage people to log on and to do something of a practical nature. We're talking about 1 week from today. On our Facebook, Irish Radio, links to Pieta House, and to that information is available. I wish you a lot of luck, and obviously we have the greatest of respect for you as founder and for the hundreds and hundreds of volunteers around the world who are indeed carrying that Irish banner in preventing suicide, the worst single possible area of ending life and attempting to end life through self-harm. Joan Freeman, again, thanks a million for joining us, and your organization is second to none. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Adrian.
And friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA. We will... again, the simplest way is to log on to our Facebook, where we give you the link. And all links on our Facebook, irishradio.com, is available, and we'll put you in the right direction on behalf of Pieta House and Joan Freeman, founder. Friends, it's a lovely day in New York. We have sun. Everything is fine. And it's the biggest story from Ireland. We had to wait 63 days for it, but we were about to link up with Kevin O'Connor.